561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about today a question, and that question is this. Is Joe Biden qualified to be president? Now, with that, let me place a little footnote there. The most recent report, about 355-plus pages from the special counsel, says that Joe Biden is not cognitively fit to be prosecuted for his crimes. Now, if he's not cognitively fit to be prosecuted for his crimes, is he fit to be president? And may I add to that, we as Christians and conservatives and patriots in America need to be very aware of what's happening and very concerned. If Joe Biden continues to run for president, for re-election, and if Joe Biden, by some stretch of the imagination, could have the election stolen, and Joe Biden go back into office, we will continue, in my most humble opinion, to have a presidential occupant of the Oval Office that's not in charge of our government, and others are. I don't know about you, but we need to understand that that being the case, it puts all of our Bill of Rights in jeopardy. It places the Constitutional Republic in jeopardy. It puts us in a position that we're sitting ducks for any foreign national leadership that's an enemy of America. That's my position. Those are my thoughts. That's my opinion. And after a brief monologue, we're going to invite you to call in. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What's your opinion? Does it frighten you? Does it bother you to know that we have one that has been declared to be incompetent, and yet he remains in the Oval Office? Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus' discussion with his disciples, according to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17, 17, a wonderful declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that the scripture says, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2, that endures forever. It does not deplete, does not change, is not left or rendered non-factual or unusable, or in some way left in the dust heap of time. Our Bible, the written, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, has stood the test of time and shall continue. It's the truth book. And ladies and gentlemen, truth does matter. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where there is disdain for the one that stands for truth. There's disdain for the one that speaks the truth. And yet we have, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that has this opinion of truth. And I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." Ladies and gentlemen, there's another one version of truth. If you modify it, bifurcate it, change it, edit it, leave something out, add something to it, it's no longer truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my mantra. That's my argument. That's my position each and every day on this broadcast. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic benchmark, an identifier, to help you find Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, the American flag, flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. Tools for Time, drop.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the essence of today's focus, is Biden qualified to be president? Let's wrap up some loose ends, as I call it, from the broadcast recently in relationship to the shooter, the killer, that walked into the Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. This person is now identified. The shooter was evidently a transsexual. And I'm not clear, because three different sources. One says this person was born a man and then transitioned to a woman. Others say it was born a woman, transitioned to a man. But in either event, this headline says it all. Joel Osteen church shooter is transgender, whose gun packed big political message. The gun used in Sunday shooting at the church in Houston, Texas, reportedly had a Palestinian message written on it. And the shooter has been identified as Janice Yvonne Moreno, 36 years old, a transgender immigrant from El Salvador. The article further reads, Moreno had a criminal history dating back to 2005, previously identified as Jeffrey Escalate, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety records. Prior arrests include failure to stop and give information, assault on public servant, assault causing bodily injury, forgery, possession of marijuana, theft, evading arrest, unlawful carrying of a weapon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I can just simply say, I'm thankful that there were no more injuries than took place. I'm thankful that there were people within the services, armed, law enforcement, off duty, working part-time for the church to keep them safe. I'm thankful they were present. And yet we have across America today multitudes of Christians that say guns ought not to be in church. In fact, there are several states that still outlaw weapons in a church. There are some states that the weapons are not legal as far as state is concerned in a church, but then they say the church can make the determination. There are some bleeding heart liberals that are involved in some denominations that believe, as one writer said, we need to just put on the whole armor of God. That's a biblical term, by the way. The biblical truth is there. But the statement was, we need to put on the whole armor of God and not worry about having weapons in a church. Ladies and gentlemen, churches and schools have been viewed as soft targets because they are gun-free zones. In fact, many schools today have the big old signs, gun-free zone. Some churches. I said the other day, we need to find somebody that will manufacture the signs, and I'll buy the first one. It simply says, this is not a gun-free zone, and post it at the entrance to the campus of schools and churches that's willing to take a stand and defend the lives of those that are present on the campus and in the facilities. The shooter was as I can understand and reading about 24 articles now on the subject, the shooter was a domestic, had a domestic dispute with his or her ex-husband. The ex-husband was Jewish, and the battle was over child custody. Yet the real issue is, I believe, is that the killer was wanting to make a political statement on the AR-15 weapon, on the gun stock, said Palestine. Then written down the barrel of the gun says, Free Palestine. It was that individual wanted to make a blazing statement going out of this world stating that they're for Palestine, for the Arab jihadist, if you will, which would be an open, spite statement against Jewish people. Listen, his or her, she or him, ex-husband, was Jewish. There was a battle on who's going to have the child. One that evidently has Arab background or jihadist background, or one that has a Jewish heritage. That was the battle, the real battle. But I'll never understand why, other than just having a major, major, major swan dive, major, 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 a television presence and national news by going into a large Christian church to make that statement. The question that needs to be asked and demands to be answered is why is it that you go in and into a Christian church setting and you want to shoot people, innocent people? According to the, and I don't know if you watched any of the news on that, but they were about to go into the 2 o'clock service. They have an early morning service, a regular morning service, and then a 2 o'clock Hispanic service. And I watched a brief video where a Hispanic-speaking man was introducing what they're going to have in the services for that day. That's this past Sunday. And while he's speaking, of course, it was a Spanish language communication. While he's speaking, you could hear in the background gunshots, multiple gunshots. In fact, one witness said that there were between 30 and 40 shots fired. Now, I reckon my question is, if you shoot 30 or 40 times and you hit only one person, you're a wretched shot to begin with. I'd always heard the term, if you talk about gun control means you control the weapon that you hit what you aim at. I'm looking at another article. A female shooter dead after opening fire at Joel Osteen's Texas church. The female shooter who opened fire Sunday at Joel Osteen's church in Texas is dead, according to the authorities. Officials in Houston, Texas say a 5-year-old is in critical condition. By the way, let me pause on that. the ultimate decision is, wasn't a 4 or 5 year old, as they had said at early stages of this. It was in fact a 7 year old, which was the biological son, supposedly, of this woman. Yet I don't understand, the news media and the article that's on it said that according to the records, this individual was born as a man, transitioned to a woman. So I doubt if it's a biological son, but it was a 7 year old son of the woman. His dad was Jewish, and therefore there was a battle about ethnicity and who gets the child. But ladies and gentlemen, this article further states, it's heartbreaking, said the Fox 26 reporter. It's hard to find another word other than evil to bring a child to a church for a shooting. I have chills just thinking about it, this writer says. We're not sure why any of this would happen in the first place. The female suspect reportedly drove to the church with the, this article says, 5-year-old child carrying a long rifle under a trench coat and entered the church between services, shouting she was packing a bomb. The young boy injured in the crossfire was the woman's child that she had brought to the church, and a 57-year-old man was also injured. It could have been a lot worse, one reporter said. It's devastating. We don't understand why these things happen, the pastor said, but we know God is in control. Texas Governor Greg Abbott called the shooting tragic. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a tragic event, and the latest information, you might recall that my broadcast on this just yesterday, I said that the previous shooter that made major headlines was the one that went into the Covenant Christian Academy in Nashville, Tennessee. That was a wannabe man. It was a woman dressed as a man, had been dressing as a man, transgendered supposedly, wanting to be a man, and shot, I think it was 6 people killed as a result of that. And here's what I would call simply a prototype. That one was a prototype. This is the same type that had major, major, major problem psychologically, mentally, emotionally, and I believe it all stems from the psychological, mental thing that is called transgenderism. I'm looking at a headline that says, packing heat in church, increasingly allowed in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about this briefly, as I call it, to wrap up loose ends before we get into the heart of the subject. And the issue that we're talking about today is Joe Biden qualified to be president. We'd love to have your comments on either of these issues, either of these subject matters that we're talking about today. Love to have your comments, your dialogue and discussion. 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says, guns, packing heat in church, increasingly loud. As gun control takes high priority on Capitol Hill, state legislatures increasingly are allowing concealed guns in most sacred places. The church, either the personal for personal protection for the worshipers, designated as church security personnel. Arkansas, on February the 4th, became the 8th state to pass legislation allowing concealed guns specifically in churches. In a lopsided bipartisan vote, state legislators voted to allow each church to decide whether individuals with concealed carry permits could take guns in church for personal protection. Quote, a person should be allowed to carry a firearm in church that permits the carrying of a firearm for personal security, the Arkansas Church Protection Act reads, deeming such an option immediately necessary for the preservation of the public peace, health, and safety, because personal security is increasingly important. This article reads in part, Louisiana, Michigan, Missouri, South Carolina, Utah, Virginia, and Wyoming also having laws allowing concealed guns specifically in churches. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a major article. Suffice it to say, we're finding the need. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you would not have thought the need would be as great for churches to be armed, prepared, and ready. There is a need to have security in each and every church. I don't care how small or how large. I believe there's a need to have someone that's designated, or some people, others, multitudes, one or more, depending on the size congregation, designated as security to keep an eye out of what's taking place. Because this that took place in the Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, can take place at any church at any time, and I say when least expected, it'll happen. I have had the privilege down through the years of doing lectures on church security. I've done so in multitudes of scenarios and venues. And ladies and gentlemen, I have in my record and repertoire of information and cases since 1999, over 1,300 shootings in churches and schools across America. And I believe one of the major, major problems is because there are signs that says gun-free zones. It ought not to be allowed to have a sign that says gun-free zone. That is an open invitation for a detractor to come in and want to kill everybody. I'm looking at another headline. I'll read this, and then we'll take our next caller. Osteen church shooter is woman, the article reads, who identified as a man. Gun had political message. The gun used in Sunday shooting at Joel Osteen's church in Texas reportedly had a pro-Palestinian message written on it, and the shooter had been identified as Janice Von Moreno, 36 years old. And it goes on to say, the motive behind the Sunday afternoon shooting has not been determined yet. Sources and investigators are feverishly going through the social media and the writings belonging to the suspect to try to figure it out. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. It's one that was mentally, emotionally messed up. One that had the idea that I need to make a big splash and let everybody know that I'm for Palestine. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, there are so many moving parts to this. I mean, all those moving parts lead back to Satan himself as the deceiver. However, this person that came into Joel Osteen's church clearly was dealing with mental issues, spiritual issues. And for the first time in America's history, we've begun this demand that you must affirm someone's psychosis. You know, it's a clear, you know, when you have a person that's clearly a man that says that they're a woman, the demand is coming from the left that you must affirm that. You must identify them as a woman, even though they're clearly a man, rather than acknowledging that there's a psychosis, there's a psychological issue, there's a spiritual issue, and they need assistance. They need help. I'm not saying that they need, you know, to be, you know, hurt, harmed, beat up on, nothing like that. These people need spiritual and psychological assistance many times. But to demand that the culture embrace that psychosis is a problem, it creates a bigger issue. And on the firearm side, understand that the answer during the Clinton administration was to create gun-free zones. Now, since we've created gun-free zones, we've opened up schools to be soft targets for criminals. We've opened up many states' churches to be soft targets for criminals. We've told them, hey, you can come here, and the likelihood is if everybody's obeying the law, you will not encounter an armed victim. So you can shoot whoever you please, and you'll likely walk away alive, scot-free, perhaps. Well, the numbers have climbed since we started this gun-free zones ideology under Clinton. So you understand how it seems like every time government touches something, they make it worse. I'm sure that after this most recent event, there will be those crying out for more gun legislation, more gun-free zones that then further exacerbates the issue. Criminals' number one deterrent number one deterrent for a violent criminal is an armed victim. Number two deterrent is a dog. Here's something that proves to me, bears out to me. Criminals don't want to be shot, and they don't want to be bit or bitten. Therefore, if you have a gun and a dog, you're in one of the most protected categories. Well, guess what? You walk into church, and not a whole lot of guard dogs running around. And if they get their way, many of them will shut down firearms in churches. Here's the other thing. January 11th of this year, Ed Markey and Jamie Raskin there in Congress decided, in their genius, that they would proposed legislation to shut off militia training. Now, see, a lot of people immediately, as soon as you say militia, the red flags go up in their mind. The concern goes up in their mind. Folks, understand, militia, historically speaking, is just the able-bodied male population. You know, people that can stand up and resist, if you will, push back on aggression. And the reality is that they are redefining terms to the point that if three people get together and they train for church safety, according to these two congressmen, they should be called a militia, and it should be federally outlawed for them to train. How much easier can we make it on the criminals? Understand, violence is coming to America. Tomorrow morning, you may wake up and find that we've just experienced our next 9/11 event because we have at least 9 million additional illegal aliens from 130-plus countries around the world that have entered our southern border in the past 3 years, on top of the 22 million-plus that were already here. And many of those people are not here for our good, folks. Mm-hmm. So when something horrendous happens, who will you turn to? How will you protect yourself?
Well, I think we could turn to Joe Biden, couldn't we?
Certainly, too. As he said years ago, in Delaware, you know, that person's beating on your front door, you know, hang the shotgun out the window and fire off a couple rounds in the... He was literally encouraging people to commit a criminal act in Delaware. I mean, this is a genius, a complete genius on multiple accounts.
Greg, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven. But I'm wondering, Greg, what's the southern tip of heaven like, temperature-wise and weather-wise today?
54 degrees, sunny, hit-and-miss clouds in the sky with virtually unlimited visibility. You would love to be in a little Piper Piper Cub or a Cessna 172 today, just cruising around these mountains.
Absolutely. Touch and go every now and then on a good landing field. Greg, let me, and I don't know what your time will allow you to take, but take a few moments. Let's make a transition, and then if your time will allow, we've got a couple of callers hanging on the line that we'll bring into the conversation. But is Biden qualified to be president?
Based on the most recent investigation and the synopsis put forward, they declare he's unfit to stand trial. You know, that he can't be put up for prosecution because he would be mentally incapable of answering questions and having the cognitive ability to stand trial. So if he's mentally incapable of standing trial, I have to wonder if he's mentally capable of occupying the Article II responsibilities there in the White House as President of the United States. It is a scary, scary thing to have that point so clearly put before the public. And if you watch today PMSNBC or, you know, Communist News Network or one of these outfits that completely is dominated by the left, you'll not hear this. You'll not hear this. You'll not hear that there's a clear mental instability, a clear mental inability that is embodied in that person that occupies the White House today. Now, we've seen it. We've observed it for 4 years. We obviously watched him campaign from his basement 4 years ago, never having left his basement other than to have those events where half a dozen folks would fill a basketball court, and that was his rally. You know, while at the same time another fellow was campaigning, and tens of thousands would show up in the cold, in the dark, in the rain, in the weather, in order to go to a rally. Supposedly, this fellow that did not ever leave his basement got 81 million votes. But regardless, that was taking place because they knew 4 years ago that he was in mental decline. It's not to beat up on the man. Understand. I know folks that are 80 years old that have brilliant minds. I'm speaking with one right now. But this man that's in the White House is clearly unfit.
Greg, even Mike Johnson, our Speaker of the House, has asked the question, who's running the Oval Office? Who's running the White House? Who's in charge? That's a vital question that I believe Christians, conservatives, and patriots need to ask. Greg, do you have time to hang on till after the news?
Let's go. Let's do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News,